Kia ora. Good morning. How are we all? Good. That's okay if you're not good as well. We're here together. You can come with however you're feeling, however your week's been. But we're in for a ride together. We've got about 20 minutes to chat. Yeah. Did you see the photo of Elizabeth? That was pretty cool, eh? Yeah, that was my Corvette. No, it wasn't. I wish. One day, maybe. I don't think so. All right, so we're up to part two of Practicing the Way, and you heard it referenced that today we're talking about become like him. Okay, that seems pretty simple, eh? Who's the him that we're talking about? Jesus, nice. Okay, so I've got a treat for you. The next slide is a treat. Turn your eyes up. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, who is that little cutie? It's me. It's me. So becoming like Jesus, we're talking a lot about formation, and so I thought I'd share some of my formation over the years. So you can see that's me as little cute. Bevan said I look like Rod, if you know my father. I don't know what they did, but I think the angle of the photo, my forehead looks massive, but I don't think it's that big now. But yeah, that's me in a homemade dress. That's not a bib. That's part of the dress. That's 1989 for you. Yeah, one of Jenny's curtains. Yeah, I think so. And then that next photo, that's me grown a little bit. I don't know which one am I, do you think? The one in the pink? There's three of us in pink. Yeah, the blonde one with the fringe. My mum liked fringes for a while. And then you might recognise a couple of the others in there. Jordan, the little baby there, he's just over there, looking very similar. And then you've got Pastor Rochelle up there, and then my elder sister Jeanette. So that's like family life as I'm getting older. It's hard to find photos of yourself as a teenager now because they're kind of on a hard drive, not on your iPhone. Well, my age, I didn't have an iPhone. So that's the close. That's me at my 18th birthday party, dressed as Paul McCartney. And then that's a friend dressed as Slash. If you know Slash. So that's kind of my teenage years, formational years there. Then this one is a representation of travel. I got a bit older. That's me in my early 20s with Chris. I don't know if you recognise him or not. That's us at the Grand Canyon. This one down the bottom, another really formational moment. That's our wedding. And you might recognise a couple of people there. You got Pastor Bevan, looking a bit younger without a beard. You got Jordan on the end there, you got some of the meddling girls, obviously Chris and I in there too. Cute. This one here, this is kind of my involvement with Miramar Salvation Army, the church. That's some of, I can see the young adults who were youth in this photo. Ben, sorry, you're unfortunately cut off the end. That's the Blue Mountain Adventure Centre, so that's a Salvation Army outdoor adventure camp. And that's, how old are you there right in the middle, Elliot? In the Nike top. 14 or something maybe, before your growth spurt. Now you're the tallest in the photo. And look at this glamour shot, people. I don't look like that. That's represents my career. That's my, oh yeah, that's my LinkedIn profile picture. That's taken, the Salvation Army took headshots. That's my glamour shot. My talent shot, I put it out there when I'm applying for movies and, you know, that kind of talent. Nah. But that represents my professional life, my 16 years working for the Salvation Army. And another really key foundational moment or formational moment is when we got a dog. Can you see Rooney? Anne's best friend. And that's at the Botanic Gardens, I think. And that's Rooney trying to lick me. So some key moments in my life. And when I look back at these photos, I'm sure at all those different moments, I didn't realise just how I was being formed. But all my decisions, interactions, attitudes, patterns, relationships, family life, education, etc. was forming me. All those moments. And that's the thing, formation is happening to us all. John Mark Comer words it this way, through some strange, invisible chemical reaction of habits, mindsets, chosen attitudes, life circumstances, suffering, successes, failures, and random events, we became who we are. This is spiritual formation. He also says spiritual formation isn't a Christian thing, it's a human thing. To be human is to change constantly. Whether we are religious or not, we grow, evolve, fall apart, and come back together. We can't help it. The nature of the human soul is to be dynamic, not static. So if every person is on a journey of spiritual formation, the question isn't, are you being formed? It is, who or what are you being formed into? So today we're going to take a look at three things. What is spiritual formation? How do we become like Jesus? And what does that look like in our lives? So let's jump into the first one. What is spiritual formation? Spiritual formation is the lifelong process by which your inner self is shaped into a specific character. Every human is on this journey, and it isn't optional. This is unpacked in the book. This is a long quote, so stick with me. I think it's up there. Spiritual formation is not optional. Every thought you think, every emotion you let shape your behavior, every attitude you let rest in your body, every decision you make, each word you speak, every relationship you enter into, the habits that make up your days, whether or not you have social media, if you do, how you use it, how you respond to pain and suffering, how you handle failure or success. All these things and more are forming us into a particular shape. Stasis is not on the menu. We are being either transformed into the love and beauty of Jesus or malformed by the entropy of sin and death. We become either agents of God's healing and liberating grace or carriers of the sickness of the world. To believe otherwise is an illusion, and to give no thought to this is to come dangerously close to wasting your life. It's a big quote. So whether we're choosing to conform to the patterns of this world or choosing to be transformed into Christ-likeness, we're either choosing one of those. In Romans 12, which Ethan read earlier, thank you, Ethan, Paul describes this choice as a living sacrifice and urges us as disciples, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And in Scripture, ordinary people, like us, are often described as sheep, which I think in this context, the analogy makes a lot of sense. Sheep are followers. You can picture them in a field or on the side of a hill. You know how they're often hanging out on the sides of hills? I don't know why, but they do. They're followers. Sheep are followers. And we can either follow other sheep or our own desires, or we can follow the good shepherd. Either way, we're conforming to something. We're following something. So for us as disciples, we're called to conform or be transformed into the way of Jesus, to intentionally choose to apprentice under Jesus to become like him. This is spiritual formation in the way of Jesus. John Mark Comer describes it as, if spiritual formation is simply the way the human spirit or self is formed into a definitive shape, for better or worse, then spiritual formation in the way of Jesus is how each of us is formed to be like Jesus. And in doing so, to be our deepest, truest self, the self that God had in mind when he willed us into existence before time began. So now we know what spiritual formation is. I hope that helped unpack it a little bit. How do we become like Jesus? It's pretty simple. John Mark Comer suggests it's as simple as, formation into the image of Jesus isn't something we do as much as something that is done to us by God himself as we yield to his work of transforming grace. Our job is mostly to make ourselves available. So, it's pretty simple. We make ourselves available to do what? Yeah, nice. He goes on to say, an apprentice of Jesus is one who has arranged their life around becoming like Jesus, as expressed through their personality, gender, life stage, culture, ethnicity, and so on. But if you had to summarize Christ-like character in one word, there would be no competition. Love. Love is the acid test of spiritual formation. The single most important question is, are we becoming more loving? Not are we becoming more biblically educated or practicing more spiritual disciplines or more involved in church. Those are all good things, but not the most important thing. So we become more like Jesus by making ourselves available to be formed into Christ-likeness. And Christ-like character equals love. Love defined by Jesus is not just a nice feeling of affection. It's an attitude, yes, of compassion, warmth and delight, but it's also an action. It's agape. To will the good of another ahead of your own, no matter the cost or sacrifice. But even if we just need to make ourselves available, it doesn't just happen. There are no accidental saints. The book says formation will happen to you with zero conscious decision on your part, but formation into a person of love in Christ will not. That you must choose and keep choosing day after day. It will require intentionality. You will have to apprentice under Jesus and follow his process of training. Okay, so now we've determined becoming more like Christ is a choice, and it requires training and intentionality. Yet a lot of us fall into the pattern of that looking like going to church, reading our Bible and praying, giving, things like that. And these are all good, healthy practices, but a lot of us get stuck just there and don't do the inner deep work. Spiritual formation is an inward journey, a deep transforming of who we are, allowing ourselves to be shaped by God. But it's also a journey outward into love, into action, into the world. To be Christ in this world is to be agents of love. So now we're on to point three. Are you still with me? Lots of quotes, lots of deep thoughts, but I hope it's clear so far. And this one will get a little bit more practical. So what does becoming like Jesus look like in our lives, in your life? How do we become agents of love? You know, agents of love. In the book, there's this really handy diagram, which will come up. I don't know. Is he tricking me? It's not there. That's super handy. I'll just find my laptop and get Chris Singh to airdrop it while I'll unpack. Follow me, guys. I'm just going to the sound desk. He's risen from the...
You don't need to fill it with that.
Oh, that's rude. You can do the rest. Okay, I'm back to it, guys. How we're doing on this side? Woman in tech. I mean, I could be up there as well if needed, guys. Just let me know. I could do both. Just saying. So there's this diagram in the book. The young adults group have been working through the series. You'll be familiar with this diagram when you see it. And there's a Tuesday night life group that's working through it. Some of the people here, you might be familiar. I don't know where you guys are up to, but you might have seen this. And so at the top of the diagram is a circle, and it says teaching. So I'll unpack that a little bit. And teaching is all about truth, learning truths about God. Yeah, woo! Oh, you mean this, eh? Yeah, I know. The world will try to convince us of lies about God and ourselves. Part of spiritual formation is learning what is true and good about God and what he says about us, and discarding the rest. The verse from Romans that Ethan read talks about the renewing of our mind. This is important work that could look like sermons, podcasts, meditating, studying scripture, learning with others in a small group, mentor relationships, so on, however you learn those truths. Then on the bottom you see practices. And during his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus prompts, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a sensible person who builds their house on the rock." And it's one thing to learn truths and how to follow Jesus, but it's nothing without putting it into practice, living it out. This means developing spiritual disciplines or habits that will help shape us into Christ-likeness. In the book, there are 9 practices explored, and I think Bevan might touch on some of those next week, I'm not sure. Our young adults group, shout out young adults, do you want to wave your hands at me? Oscar, Julia, we meet every Tuesday, and so we've been chatting through some of those as we've gone through the series and how we can weave things like scripture and prayer. What was this Tuesday? Sabbath, yeah. That's good, you'll get more chocolate later, Ethan. And we're even planning to have a meal together maybe after we finish the series, eh? Putting some of these into practice. Halfway through. That's pretty good for us. Spiritual practices may seem like more work, like adding to an already full life, but the book suggests we start small and asks, what's your willpower capable of? And then we work on removing and then adding in. We replace habits with these habits. And then you've got community. You can't follow Jesus alone. Jesus even found a group he could do life with, i.e. his disciples, and we need to too. The book says community is like the incubator for spiritual formation. The Bible tells us that we're adopted into the family of God through Jesus. This means we become sons and daughters, but also brothers and sisters. Yeah. This church is a family, and family does life together. Family shares together, celebrates, mourns, challenges, encourages, eats together, my favourite, sticks together, and simply just is together. And then we've got the Holy Spirit in the middle, beautiful. And this is all about presence. Like Rochelle talked about last week, the first principle is around be with God. We can try all we like to form ourselves, to train and practice, but without the beautiful shaping work of the Holy Spirit, it's ultimately fruitless. Spiritual formation requires work from us, but we need to also fully rely on the Spirit to do the heavy lifting. We need to hand over control. We need to be with God. And at the bottom, you've got time and suffering. So the time is, we don't become like Jesus overnight. You could see my photos before. Formation happens over a long time. And as author Eugene Peterson puts it, it's through a long obedience in one direction. It's going to take time, both length of time and investment of time. It'll take our whole lives, but also a conscious decision to invest time in it. And then the final one, suffering. And this is the one no one really wants to hear, but it happens to all of us. And there's a quote that says, the most difficult moments in our lives, the ones we fear and avoid at all costs, have the most potential to forge our souls into the shape of Jesus. The Bible has lots of lines in it around consider it pure joy when we face trials, that perseverance leads to character and character hope. We know seasons of hard times, challenges and pain leave lasting impact and can really shape us. The book says our unhappy times of great emotional pain in a beautifully redemptive turn have the potential, if we open them to God, to transform us into grounded, deeply joyful people. So as we can see from this diagram, becoming like Jesus is an all-of-life intentional decision. And the Salvation Army has a song, which we sung earlier, that sums up the formula quite succinctly. It says, to be like Jesus, this hope possesses me. In every thought and deed, this is my aim, my creed. To be like Jesus, this hope possesses me. His Spirit helping me, like him I'll be. So the thing with this diagram is that whether we're actively acknowledging and practicing these things, we are all being formed. We can embrace these 6 things and actively choose the way and the formation that will come with that, or we can continue conforming to the patterns of this world and be formed by the fast, steady current of the world's rivers. We can sing the words to the song and then go about our weeks without living the words out. In John Mark Comer's words again, he says, for those of us who desire to follow Jesus, here is the reality we must turn and face. If we're not being intentionally formed by Jesus himself, then it's highly likely we're being unintentionally formed by someone or something else. So again, Who are you following? Who are you becoming? So thinking about my photos from the start again, those cute photos, I asked myself, who am I becoming? What are the rest of the photos in that series? If you were to look back over a similar series of photos of yourself, I wonder what this would bring up for you, how you would feel about your own journey of transformation, and whether this would spark you to pause and think about the next series of photos, your future milestones and snapshots. Who are you becoming? Who will you be? It's not too late to have an impact on that next series of photos of who you're becoming. We each have the choice to be intentional or unintentional. I wonder what we'll choose. As a response this morning, I have a reflective exercise that I hope you'll join me in. It just involves yourself, so don't worry, there's no socializing or talking, or just inviting you to be on this little journey with me. So if you're willing, close your eyes. Take a couple of deep breaths. Now consider your own series of snapshots. Picture an iconic photo of yourself as a child or teenager. Think about your first job or a special award or recognition you received, or a significant moment, good or bad, that changed you. Think about what photo would come next in your series. Now pause and breathe and consider yourself today. Settle into your seat. Consider what your week has looked like, some of the rhythms you have, your attitude to church, to others, or where you invest your time. Now consider yourself in the coming years. Picture yourself as a 70-year-old or an 80-year-old or as the 5 years from now version of yourself, or 1 year, or maybe even just the Christmas 2026 version of yourself. Whatever future version of yourself you can imagine. Pause and breathe. What do you want this person to be like? What goals do you have for them? Are you hopeful you are more Christ-like? What do you hope people will say about you or feel after being around you? Are you a better version of yourself? More loving, more joyful, more patient? Would people see Jesus in this version of you? Now consider what will it take for you to get there? Are you willing to apprentice under Jesus, learn his ways, submit control over your life? Who or what is currently forming you? Will that help you get to where you want to be? Are you conforming or transforming? You can open your eyes if you like. We're going to stay in this moment a little bit longer, and we're going to sing together, "Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me." And I just encourage you to reflect on the words. Ask God to continue revealing who he wants you to be, to release parts of your life and control that you've been holding back. Think about a step that you could take over the coming weeks that will help you become like Jesus.